Good job, kids. Wasn't that wonderful? Amen. First, let me recognize any first-time visitor that's visiting with us here today. If you're sitting with a visitor and you know he or she's a visitor, would you mind introducing our visitors today? Amen. Starting, yes, right here, Sister Alice, you want to introduce your visitors? Okay, welcome to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Anywhere else on this side right here? Let's go right here. Yes, sir. Would you introduce yourself to the church, please?
Ken Schofield. This is my first time here, though. My mother's father used to go here many years ago.
Did you say your last name is Schofield?
Wow.
I'm going to need your autograph after the end of service. Amen. Welcome to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Anyone else visiting for the first time? Nobody here in the back? Okay. If you are in a rush after the morning service, please don't do so. Please try to stick around. It's our monthly celebration, potluck celebration, every second Sunday of the month. There's food prepared. There's also, for those of you that have kids, if you don't know, every second Sunday of the month, we have children's church. They're taught Bible lessons. They have their own preacher. Today's speaker is going to be Brother Gary, right? There's going to be talking about the resurrection as well. So for those of you that hasn't been here in a while, you might have noticed a couple of changes. There was a safety change because the ceiling was full of asbestos from the old building. We had to be in compliance with the city ordinance and things like that. So they had removed the asbestos, and the church agreed that while they were removing the asbestos, might as well change the lighting also and paint the walls. But isn't this a great place to worship? Amen. What else do I have? Am I forgetting something, Brother Pat? As far as next Sunday? Okay. Now, the following Sunday, we're going to have another meeting for the church members, an all-church member meeting. That way we can discuss a couple of other things as far as how the church is doing. Okay? I think that's all I have. What do we have next?
And now we have Brother Johnny. We have a special.
Good morning, everyone. You know, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he's no longer in the tomb. He's alive and doing quite well, thank you, sitting on the right hand of the Father Most High. And one of these days, we're going to see him as he is. Please. Satan's forces celebrated victory. But then laughter turned to fear. Their celebration turned to flight. After one, as they morning light, for they saw angels robed in white, and the storm rolled away. Now grave clothes deeply folded in the place where Jesus lay. Satan knew that it was all over, saying that he had lost the plot. And the run he saw in that morning light. Now let me tell you about Mary. You see, her eyes were swollen from all the tears she cried. She wondered if a broken heart were there for me. Now as she looked into the tomb, hope came into sight. For after all, Mary saw in that morning light. For she saw angels all rolled in white, and the stone rolled off the way. In that morning light. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to my King. I know I'm not going to know how to act when I say it. Praise God.
Amen. Let's turn to number 264.
I serve.
To impart.
the resurrection day, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Give us strength, O God, to praise and to carry his way and to serve him. Bless our men and women in uniform who send home to you, O God. Bless our pastor and his family. Bless the birthday people and anniversary people today. Mm-hmm. O Lord, give us all strength. Guide our footsteps in your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Brother Owl, would you come up and do the scripture reading? And then we're going to have a special by Sister Risa. So we have a lot of singing today.
Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. You know, it's believed by most people in the world that Christ didn't arise because there's no proof. Well, I got the scriptures to give me the truth. His word is true. The most important day in human history is Resurrection Day.
That's right.
The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 13, verse 13 and 14, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is also in vain." Amen. Let's hear what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 11. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures." Amen. Amen. "And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was risen. He was seen by over 500 brethren, once of whom the greater part remain in the present, but some have fallen asleep. After he was seen by James, then all of the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also on the road to Damascus." Mm. "After that, he was seen by me," okay, "James and all the apostles. For I am the least of the apostles. Who am I not worthy but to call an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God? But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so we believe." Praise God for the reading of his word.
Sister Risa.
Brought
me love that only he could give. I brought him cause to cry. And though he taught me how to live,
Sister Reza. They say that most people attend church or go to church only twice a year. One is on Christmas, the other is on Easter. But the doctrine of resurrection, I tell you, is mentioned 104 times in the New Testament. And if you look really carefully, you'll understand that Christianity is the only religion with a living founder. Let's go to our text. It's already been read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want us to just look at two verses that were already mentioned. We'll look at the doctrine of resurrection. If you would stand with me to honor the word of God, just looking at two verses, verses 13 and 14, and I'll ask someone to pray and bless this message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Your faith is also vain. Let me me ask Brother Mac, can you pray for, can you bless this message, Brother Mac, please, in prayer. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were in Sunday school today, I've gone over the distinctions between the pagan practice of Easter, the Jewish Paschal or the Passover, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, these three events or three practices must be distinguished from each other. There's a difference between the practice of the pagan Easter. Go to Acts chapter 12 with me. For those of you that missed the Sunday school, I apologize. You will not have a chance to go through this in as much detail. The word Easter is only found in the Bible once, and it is in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Acts chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Notice, then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending," notice what it says, "after Easter to bring him forth to the people." This is the only text in your Bible that mentions the word Easter. You can look yourself, and if you find another one, please let me know. I would like to know where else in the Bible is the word Easter found except for Acts chapter 12. Now, in Sunday school, we talked about the differences between the pagan Easter, which is here celebrated by King Herod, the Jewish Passover, which is a celebration of what happened in the book of Exodus when the angel of the Lord passed over the children of Israel, versus what we celebrate as Christians, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, first, let's notice the occasion of the resurrection of Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. Well, those songs were a blessing. I was ready to start preaching and start hammering down on the message, but I'm trying to hold myself back for a little bit. Go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. First, let me give you the occasion of the resurrection of Christ. Look at what the Bible says in verse 2. "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." So the time of the resurrection and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was around the feast of the Passover. If you go to chapter 26 again, look at verse 17. Look at verse 17 of Matthew 26. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" This is the occasion of the resurrection. The occasion of the resurrection is the celebration of the Passover, which goes back to the day of the days of Exodus. Secondly, after the occasion or the feast is the day of the resurrection. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 now. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 1. When did the resurrection occur, or what day of the week was it? Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Notice the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath." The Sabbath is the Saturday, and you all know that. "As it began to dawn towards," what does that say? The first day of the week. So the resurrection then occurred, first of all, during the feast of the Passover, after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. When was this? Verse 2. And very early in the morning, what does that say? The first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Let's hear from Luke. Let's hear from Luke. It's good to see Luke today, amen? Good to see you, Luke. Luke chapter 24, look at this. Let's hear from the account of Luke. Look at verse chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. What about the account of John? Look at John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. It's all the same story, about the same story, different accounts. Look at verse 1. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, until the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So you have four different men giving an account of the same story, and they're all saying it was the first day of the week, right after the Passover. And here's one thing you should know, for those that argue that that Jesus Christ did not resurrect and that there is no resurrection. When you have four witnesses, go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. Look at this. For those people that do not believe that there's such a thing as resurrection and that Jesus Christ did not really resurrect, look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, we'll get to the message. Let me give you some background here. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses, or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. This is when they were sentencing someone to die. Well, you could not sentence a person to die based on one witness, because you can never know if that one witness is true. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of how many witnesses? Of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. Well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Oh, really? Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. Look at what the Bible says. On church discipline, Matthew 18, 16, the Bible said, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Why? That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. You see, I like to refer to the Bible. The Bible corrects the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Look at this. I'm on 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of how many witnesses? Of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. Now, I've given you an account of four witnesses who are all saying the same thing. Now, let me give you the laws of jurisprudence that is still in existence until today. According to the laws of jurisprudence, in order to establish a fact as a fact, that is unquestionable, that cannot be questioned, one needs Check this out. The laws of jurisprudence. Number one, two or three witnesses.
Amen.
Whose accounts agree. Okay, you have two or three witnesses, and they're all saying the same thing. Number three, they place what they're saying in writing. It's in agreement, and they put it in writing. And number four, it is uncontested by a counter evidence. So if you can have two or three witnesses who are all in agreement with each other, and they all put what their accounts in writing, and there is no counter evidence that's contrary to their account, that fact must be established to be true. So now, is the resurrection true? Is there such a thing as resurrection? Amen?
Amen.
Now, this explains why the primitive church met on Sunday. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The reason why we are not Seventh-day Adventists that meet on Saturday is because we do not observe the Sabbath. A Sabbath is for a sign for the Jew, but as Christians, the reason why we meet on a Sunday and not on a Saturday is because the early Christians celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Look at this. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We won't be here until midnight, amen? We'll be out of here by 12, around 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Notice, the Christians met on the first day of the week to commemorate the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Look at this. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings or meetings when I come. And that's why the celebration of the resurrection is on Sunday. Easter is not about Easter bunnies or egg hunting, or little girls wearing bunny outfits. Easter is about the resurrection. And the resurrection is not a one-time deal. The resurrection is, for the Christian, it is something that must be celebrated Sunday after Sunday.
Amen.
Ever wondered why it's called Sunday, S-U-N day? How many know? Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, let me give you this. Jesus Christ is also known as the Son of Righteousness. Go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. You may not have seen this before, but Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, notice the Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. This is a prophecy about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Notice how Malachi refers to him as the Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N, of righteousness. So that is why as Christians today, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, not every Easter. Okay, now that I've established that fact, and I've given you some background, there are opposing theories to resurrection. They're opposing theory. Let me give you a couple of them. There's the fraud theory. There are those that say, well, that is something that is fraudulent. They just made it up. Jesus Christ never really died, and he never really resurrected. It's all baloney. It's fraud. Well, let me ask you this. If something that is fraud, would you be willing to die for it? Would you die for something that is fraudulent? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said those words as he gets closer to his impending death. If the resurrection is fraud, why would a man like Paul be willing to die for it? And why would all the apostles die for it? And why would Christianity in general die for it? Why would all the martyrs of the first 100 centuries die for something that is fraud? And if it is fraud, let's close the doors of the church, because we are our belief is based on fraud. Let's go home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, "My preaching is vain. Your faith is vain." And then there's the fraud theory, and there's the swoon theory. The swoon theory teaches that Jesus Christ did not really die, he just fainted. How many of you would you like to get speared on the side of the rib, drain your blood out, be left in a tomb for 3 days, wrapped around with cloth, and survive? Not to mention after being whipped 39 plus 1. Not to mention after carrying that, what did we say, 400 pounds of the cross. Foolish theory. And then there's the hallucination theory. There are people that say that, well, the apostles were hallucinating when they saw him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. Look at this. "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Some of them doubted. There was one of the believers by the name of Thomas. He was called the Doubting Thomas. He doubted that Jesus Christ really resurrected. Now, question, if you're hallucinating, would you doubt? Or would you somewhat believe that what you're seeing is real? I come across a lot of people that are hallucinating. They're high on drugs. They're high as a kite on drugs with PCP and all kinds of narcotics. I've seen some of them climb up on a pole, a light pole, and then jump, thinking that they're jumping into a swimming pool. I've heard some stories of people going up on a 10-story building and jumping, believing that they have wings and they're able to fly. That's what hallucination do to you. You will not doubt. You would think it's real. Amen? John chapter 20, verse 19 and 25. The Bible says, "Then at the same time at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut..." Let's go there. Look at your Bible. John chapter 20, verse 19. "Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." How many of you have ever heard a ghost speak to you before? How many of you have ever hallucinated about a creature or a being, and that being that you're hallucinating about is talking to you? How many of you have ever been hospitalized and they shoot you with morphine in the ER? Right? You begin to hallucinate. How many of you actually saw visions of a person and that person was talking to you? Well, it's not the case here. In verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them," that's doubting Thomas, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know the story of doubting Thomas? Was Jesus Christ a hallucination, or was he real after death? And then there's the ghost theory. People say, well, they must have seen a ghost. He never really died. He died, but he never really resurrected. He was just a ghost. Luke chapter 24, verse 39, here's what the Bible says. "Behold my hands and my feet. that it is I myself. Handle me and see me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. That's coming from the words of Jesus Christ. And then there's the myth theory. How do you call the story of the Messiah a myth? Look at secular history. You don't even have to look at the Bible. You look at secular history. What year is it? 2017 AD. Which means what? Anno Domini, the year of the Lord? Who are they talking about? I'm not talking Christians. I'm talking about the pagan world. I'm talking about the heathen, the unbelievers. They agree that the year today is 2017. But they never question. They never ask 2017 years of what? So how could Jesus Christ be a myth? And then they say, and there's that stolen body theory. In Matthew chapter 28, King Herod, he paid the soldiers. In verses 11 to 15, he says, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Question. If the body of Jesus Christ was really stolen, what were the Pharisees and King Herod doing paying somebody to lie about it? You thought about that? Now the doctrine, I tell you, the doctrine of resurrection, the importance of the resurrection is this. Let me give you four things. Number one, the doctrine of the resurrection, it proves the existence of God. I said in the beginning, there is no religion that has a living founder. You look at the tomb of Jesus Christ, he's not there. For he is risen. You look at the tomb of Muhammad, he is still there. You look at the tomb of Siddhartha Gautama Buddha, he's still there. You look at the tomb of Joseph Smith, he's still there. You look at the tomb of Armstrong, the father of Armstrongism, he's still there. You look at the tomb of Jesus Christ, he's not there. Because he is God. Job chapter 5 verse 13. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. To the outside world, what we do in this church, to the outside world, what I do as a preacher is foolishness. And if there is no resurrection, what we're doing in this church is foolishness. But by the resurrection, we know that there is God. Secondly, by the resurrection, we know that Jesus Christ is God. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is God. Thirdly, by the resurrection, his promises to us is confirmed. In John chapter 4 verse 3, he says, and if I go, I go and prepare a place for you. And he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It confirms the promises of God. And then finally, the doctrine of resurrection, it is the power of the Christian. It is the power of the Christian. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Ever wonder why Christianity today is no longer has that same power that Jonathan Edwards had, that Billy Sunday had? Ever wonder why Christianity today is wagging its tails in between its legs like a dog? We're scared of the pagan world. We're scared of the secular world. We've lost that power. You know why? Because preachers stopped preaching about the doctrine of resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You understand the importance of the doctrine of resurrection, the importance of celebrating resurrection, not just on Easter, but Sunday after Sunday. It is the power of the Christian. I am sorry to disappoint you, but Easter and today is not about Easter bunnies. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but today is not about colored and painted eggs. Those have pagan origins. I'm sorry to tell you that today is not about what else is that they do? Egg hunting. I'm sorry to tell you that Easter is not about egg hunting. Easter is about the power of the Christian. It is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the faith of the Christian. It is the doctrine on which we stand, without which what we do in this place is nothing but foolishness. And for those of you that are saved today, the doctrine of the resurrection is the hope of your glory, because it points to that one event called the rapture. Because just as our Lord and Savior resurrected after he had died, you too, if you're saved today, will have a resurrected body. You will have a renewed, a translated body if you're saved today. Amen? But for those of you that are not saved today, you are born once, you will die twice. You already died once spiritually. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. You will die a second time. But you'll never resurrect again. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I tell you, you might as well be dead. That's a hard saying, but it's true. For those of you that are Christians today, you were born once, you died spiritually, and yes, you will die the second time, but guess what? You will be, you have been, I should say, born again. Amen. You have been born again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Easter is not about how the world celebrates it. It is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the power of the believer, which is the hope of the Christian for the rapture. Maybe you're a saved person today, but you've lost all hope. You've given up on Christianity because other Christians have failed you. As the piano plays, would you come and be renewed today? Would you ask God to give you back, for you to regain that joy of the resurrection? But more importantly, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you have no business celebrating Easter. It's not for you. Until you come to the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The altar is open. Would you stand to your feet today, church? Would you stand to your feet? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come this morning? Would you place your trust in Him? Or maybe you're not a member of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, but God led you to this church to be a part of this local assembly. Would you join us today? People say?
Amen.
Amen. There's a fellowship. There's a lunch that's prepared for us. I wish we would all stick around and join.